Well, we've been learning as adults through the book of Genesis about the man called Abraham. And from him, we learn a big question of whether we can trust God to be faithful. Can we trust God to be faithful? Both can we... There we go. So both can we trust God to be faithful? Will he keep his promises? But also, can we trust him? Will we trust him to do what he said? And we've been seeing that it's very hard to keep trusting God. Yeah, he remains faithful. He always keeps his promises. But sometimes it can be hard for us to trust him. And we've been seeing that from the life of Abraham. Abraham was a man who lived long ago. And he was married to a woman called Sarah. Can you see them up there on the screen? You can see that they're both quite old. And they had no children. There was nothing special about them, but they became special because God chose them. God chose Abraham and he said to him some amazing promises. He promised him two big things. First of all, he promised them an amazing land. He promised them their own place to live. And then he also promised them lots of people, lots of children. Even though they were old, he promised them lots and lots of children. There they are, the family portrait. And they were big promises. But Abraham found it very hard to trust God. His faith went up and down because sometimes it seemed very impossible that God would keep his promises. And because also he had to wait a long time for them to come true. But despite that, Abraham is given us as the example in the New Testament of what it means to live by faith. So as we look at him, we learn about what it means to live by faith, trusting God. Because sometimes, isn't it, life can be hard. It can feel a bit like a roller coaster. Do you ever feel like that? That you're hanging on for dear life? Yeah, sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's exciting. And life of faith can be a bit like that. It goes up and down. But all the way through, God is faithful. God's like the tracks that the roller coaster is on. The roller coaster may go backwards and forwards, but the tracks are always there, safe and secure, and get us to the end. And so what I want to do in this first bit of our talk is to find out, to help the children particularly, to see, and the adults to remember, what we've been seeing about the life of Abraham. And so I've got something to help us. It's very impressive. It's been specially designed by me, and it's a piece of high-tech equipment. It is the faithometer. Yeah? So this is going to test all about Abraham's faith. So I'm going to need someone to help me with the faithometer. Are you going to help me with the faithometer? So you come and hold it. There we go. Now, we need to make sure that, first of all, the faithometer works properly before we get looking at Abraham. So I'm going to need another volunteer to come out and to test their faith. Toby, are you going to come out? Oh, this is even better, see? So what we need to do is we need to test Toby's faith. So, Toby, do you think that you could fall back and your dad could catch you? Would you trust him to do that? Okay, so you stand up. Oh, he's got great faith. Stand up first, and then I want you to fall back.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, there we go. So do we think that Toby had lots of faith, or was he afraid and didn't have much faith? What do we think? Lots of faith, a bit higher, do you think? Even more? Yeah, okay. Hey, there we go. Okay, well done. So we know it works now, guys. You can go and sit down. Well done. So we know our faithometer works. Now let's see, for Abraham, you need to stay there. Sorry, you're still needed. Okay? Because we're going to see, first of all, in the life of Abraham, we saw in chapter 12 that God called Abraham and made some amazing promises. He said, get up, go from the country you're in to another place, and I will make you into a great nation. And do you know what Abraham did? He got up and he went. Now, do you think that is big faith or little faith? Where do you think the needle needs to go? Up, up. Help me out. Go on, Hannah. To the green, right round to here. Is that agree? Yeah. So Abraham showed amazing faith because he trusted God, trusted what God has said, and got up and went. Okay, what about then? A little later on, a famine came and they had no food and they felt very hungry. And so they decided to leave the land that God had promised them and go to another place, to Egypt. And what's more, when they got there, Abraham was scared. He was worried that they were going to kill him. So he pretended that Sarah was his sister rather than his wife. Now, was that faith or fear? Where does it need to go? Who wants to tell me? Go on, Chloe, where do you think it needs to go? It was fear, yeah. So he's back down in fear. But then he went back to the land. He trusted God, and as he split the land with his nephew, and he trusted God to give him the bit that he was meant to have. And then his nephew was kidnapped and taken away by some other kings. And Abraham, with just 300 men, went and fought them and beat them because he trusted God. Now, where does the needle need to go now? Evie, where do you think? Back over to green. There we go. You're right. He had great faith in God to keep him safe. Then, in chapter 15, Abraham begins to doubt God's promises. And so do you know what God does? He comes and he sees him again. And he takes Abraham outside. And he says, look at all the stars in the sky. And he says, that's how many children you're going to have. He says, count them, every single one of them. He said, you're going to have more children than that. And he says, I'm going to keep my promises to you no matter what. And we're told that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. It was given to him as righteousness. So what do you reckon for that? Where do you reckon? Is it green or is it red or is it somewhere in between? What do we reckon? What do you reckon for that? You reckon it's red? Well, he did. He began to doubt, didn't he? He wasn't sure that he was going to do it. But then in the end, what did he say? He believed God, didn't he? Go on, Chloe. Yeah, so maybe it's about there, isn't it? Because it's a bit of fear, a bit of both. And then, despite God making his promises again, we had to wait for a very long time for these promises to come true. And they didn't know what was going to happen. And so Sarah came up with a plan. She said, I know, let's do it ourselves. Instead of waiting for God to keep his promises, let's do it ourselves. And they tried to have a baby. Instead of through Sarah, they tried to have a baby with Hagar, her servant. Now, was that trusting God or was that fear? Go on, Chloe, again. That was fear, wasn't it? They couldn't trust God to do it, so they thought they had to do it themselves. And then finally, despite their lack of faith, God kindly comes back and gives them a promises again in chapter 17 and says, no, it'll be through Sarah that you'll have a child. And Abraham believes God and he shows his belief by obeying what God commands and being circumcised. So where are we going now? Is it fear or faith? Faith, background here. Excellent. So we've seen, well done, Amelia, thank you very much. We've seen, haven't we, that it is a life of ups and downs, of faith and fear. So here we go. Here is the roller coaster, right from chapter 12, right through to chapter 18. It goes down and up and up and down. But all the way through, God is faithful. That's the red line at the top. All the way through, God is faithful. And we see two things that may stop us from trusting God. The first is delay, thinking that God won't do it. It's been a long time and I've been waiting for ages for God to do it. And so I don't think he will. Maybe you feel like that with Christmas. You think, I'm wondering whether Christmas is ever going to come because I'm waiting and waiting. Or adults, maybe it's waiting in. You've taken the day off work and you're waiting in for the plumber or the delivery man to come. And you're there waiting and waiting. As it gets later and later in the day, you think, I don't think he's going to come because of the delay. Maybe you feel that as you're here, the promises in the Bible that there's going to be no more suffering in the world. And yet you think, there seems to be a lot. What is God doing? Why hasn't he come to stop it yet? Has he forgotten? And that's what we saw in chapter 16. The delay made them fear and doubt. But the other one is difficulty. Maybe it's that God can't do it. Maybe it's too hard for God to do. Again, we saw those promises, didn't we, about if I promise to take you to the moon, if I said, Amelia, I'm going to take you to the moon tomorrow, would you believe me? No, because of course I can't take you to the moon. I'm not an astronaut. So maybe what God has promised is too hard for him to do. And that's what chapter 18 that we're going to be looking at in a little while is all about. We're going to see that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is too difficult for him to do. What he says, he'll do. But before we look at that, we're going to sing again. And we're going to sing all about God's character, that he is the Lord who does not change. What he is, he says, and what he says, he'll do. So let's stand and sing. Children, do you want to come out to the front? Do you think someone could jump over this building? You went, no, of course not. Don't be so silly. That's impossible. If I said someone could jump a mile, don't be silly. That is ridiculous. Well, that's what Sarah is doing here. Me have a child? Really, God? Don't be so silly. That is impossible. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because it does seem impossible. The writer actually reminds us of just how hard this is. He reminds us of verse 11. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So children, I know you think that your parents are very old. It would be interesting to ask you how old you think your parents are. But we're not talking parent old here, okay? We're talking grandparent old, or maybe even great-grandparent old, okay? So I'm going to pick on Peggy. Peggy, can I be very rude and ask you your age? I know you're not meant to ask a lady her age, but... 83. Okay. Peggy is a wonderful 83 years old. Now imagine next week, Peggy comes bouncing into church and says, I've got some exciting news for you. I'm pregnant. We would laugh, wouldn't we? That would be so ridiculous. But that, but here, Sarah is even older. And that's why it seems so impossible. That's why Sarah laughs. It seems ridiculous. But God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. It's what God does throughout the Bible. He does the impossible. That is who God is. He does what we can't imagine. Now, I'm going to get you to do a little bit of work for us, for yourself now. So I want you to maybe, with someone sitting around you, if you feel comfortable doing this, or with your child, I want you to think of some of the times in the Bible that we see God doing impossible things. Okay? So think of some impossible things that God does. So maybe have a talk to someone sitting next to you. If you don't want to, you just want to talk about the weather, then fine. But maybe have a little chat and think of one thing, another impossible thing that that God does. Do you want to talk to Sandra behind you? Or Angela's? Okay, there's lots of them. So let's just shout out some of the things that God does that is impossible. Where should we start? Hannah, you got your hand up. He turns water into wine. He does miracles, yes. He feeds 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Is that right, Raymond? Jesus goes 40 days without food or water. Toby, what's he? Have a think, I'll come back to you. Ian?
He brings bread in the desert.
He brings bread in the desert, the manna to the people of Israel, yeah. Toby, go on. God flooded the earth, yes. Go on, Quinn. David beat Goliath. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, loads of amazing things. God made the world. Can you make the world? No. That's impossible for us to make something from nothing, but God does. And God does all those miracles. He feeds, he floods, he does all those things that we could never do, but seem impossible. And most of all, he gave birth to another baby, didn't he? Another miraculous baby, Jesus. At that time, the mother wasn't too old. She was too young. She was a virgin. And yet, miraculously, she had a baby. You see, God does lots of amazing, impossible things. That's what God is all about. So now, I want to ask you, children, do you believe that God can do anything? Do you believe that nothing's too hard for God? Don't worry, they're just going to go off to a party. But they're missing out. We're the ones having fun. Is anything too hard for God? No. No. And see, I think as children, we believe that, don't we? Children believe that God can do anything. But maybe as we get older, adults, we stop believing that. We might say we believe it, but actually, do we? Do we believe that God can do anything? Or are we becoming cynical and losing that childlike faith? Do we start perhaps laughing at God? No, not outwardly, but in our hearts. Maybe you're here and you're looking in, and the idea of God doing miracles, as we hear of him feeding, changing water into wine and feeding 5,000 people, you say, yeah, nice stories. God, miracles don't happen. But is anything too hard for God? Or we look at God's promises. Or we hear people talking with great faith about what God might do, or face challenges in life, and we think, they're just too big for God to deal with. We used to believe he could do it, but now we just laugh. Too difficult. Things are just too difficult for God. Two ways I've been personally challenged by this is I sometimes meet with other ministers in the Wyre Forest, and they will talk about how they believe that revival is coming, that God is going to do something great in the Wyre Forest. And I must be honest, part of me thinks, yeah, right. Yeah, he can, but he's not going to. We've got to be realistic. But is that me becoming cynical and doubting that God can really do it? Or when I first started out in ministry, I used to go to a conference, and I would sort of bounce up as the young, enthusiastic one, and I'd sort of share my ideas and plans and what God could do, and some of the older ministers would sort of look at me and sort of nod and sort of say, "You'll learn." And now I find I do that with the young guys. I think, oh, yeah, you'll see what ministry is really like. It's easy, isn't it, as we look at the church. I mean, imagine if I said to you, imagine this hall being filled right to the back, the screens opened and chairs going right back, filled to the brim with people. Do you believe God can do that? Or are you thinking, well, not in this day and age? Or what about raising £20,000 that we need for the church? Impossible, isn't it? How do you raise £20,000? That's an astonishing amount of money. But is anything too hard for the Lord? What about new birth? About seeing people come to trust in the Lord Jesus? Maybe that family member who's never shown any interest, never even come to the carol service. What about them? Here we see a miracle baby, a miracle new birth. Well, do we believe God can't do that in our friends and family? We're only here because God has worked powerfully by his Spirit to give us new birth. And God can do that in anyone. Nothing is impossible for God, so we need to keep trusting and praying. Maybe this Christmas will be the time for God to give them new birth, to miraculously work, to do the impossible. Or maybe it's your growth as a Christian. Maybe you're cynical that God can do anything to change you or others. That battle with sin or that personalised trait, anger, anxiety, addiction. And you think, it's too big for God. I'll never change. It's too late. This is the way I am. We've just got to live with it. But God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? As we'll see next week, God did give Abraham and Sarah a child, despite Abraham and Sarah being really old and Sarah being past the age of childbearing. God does the impossible. He gives them a child because nothing is too hard for the Lord. And so this week, will you trust and believe that God can and will keep his promises, that he can do more than we ask or imagine, because nothing is too hard for him? Let me pray. Let's pray for our trust in God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are faithful, that we can trust you to keep your promises, that you are willing and able to do all that you've promised. Forgive us, Father, for where we doubt your power or your desire to act. Forgive us for where we laugh at you. And help us to have that faith, to believe that nothing is too hard for you. And so to live and to act and to pray, expecting you to work miracles in our lives, in the lives of those around us. And trusting to trust you to do all that you've promised and bring it to completion in the Lord Jesus. Amen.